Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Consequence of carbon, the fleeting spray of life turned diamond by the sun, forever suspended in that instant, indifferent to the gods, for he does not envy their power, he will not plead their pardon, he will curse and spit and sneer and shout his name at the heavens. I am the shining arc of humanity. Yield to my dominion. And if we must compete for our place within existence, we submit as our champion, the champion of the world, of now and of always, of the air, of the fire, of the sea, of the land, of the free. Ladies and gentlemen, the nation's famous 4th of July champion of the world, Joey Chestnut!
I want that intro to the show.
George Shea, the one and only George Shea on the introduction there.
If I ever make a public appearance again, I want that intro. I want to be indifferent to the gods.
He gave me one of those, remember, when I was up on the stage? I was the comp eater.
He's good, George Shea.
Second computer. George Shea's amazing.
He does not fear the gods.
Their power. He does not envy their power.
I want to be indifferent to the gods. I think that's the intro. Whenever you and I are asked to speak to some club or anything like that, or go anywhere, I want that intro.
George Shea.
Happy Tuesday.
I think he's like Vince McMahon. I think it's like
yes.
I think it's his tour.
He owns.
I think he runs it. It's his.
Oh, okay. Yeah. He's the front. He's the front man for the tour for sure. It is Tuesday. Thanks for hanging out with us. We are going to talk a little football here. 803-0550. We're going to the Western Hotline because we're bringing in Ben Lindsay, analyst for Pro Football Focus. Maybe you had a chance to read his work. A complete 1-32 team-by-team ranking. And the Bills were number one. Now, that's not why we got him on the show, but hey, that's pretty cool. Ben, it's Howard and Jeremy. Good morning. Thanks for coming on with us today.
Good morning. Thanks for having me on.
Sorry, that's your intro. I don't have anything like, you being indifferent to the gods or, it's just Ben, welcome to the show. I feel like it's a letdown. I'll work on it next time.
That works for me.
So we mentioned, the Bills are number one, and I want to get into that and some of the other teams in your rankings. Generally speaking, what were the criteria that you used to determine, the rankings of all of the individual teams?
Yeah, it was basically just using our grades, our stats, to go through positional units and rank those units and then balance those out to team rankings. It was a heavy lean towards the starters, but depth was factored in, especially if teams were super deep in specific areas or really thin. And then we combined those with some work from our lead cap guy, Brad Spielberger, which is essentially just assigning value to player performance in dollars. So teams that were really good in areas that matter more or that tend to get paid more across the NFL, and combining those with sort of our grade and stats.
Why did you have the Bills at number one?
I think just from top to bottom, it's hard to find holes in their roster, in their starting lineup. Obviously, Josh Allen, with the step he's taken, he's certainly in that top five, top three quarterback conversation. And with that being the most important position in the game, that factored in heavily. Secondary, really strong. Defensive line, one of the deeper groups in the NFL. And then at receiver, they lose some guys, but guys like Gabriel Davis, Jameson Crowder, potentially stepping up. It's just difficult to find any holes in their roster. And when you combine that with the high-end talent, that's why they're there at one.
I want to ask you more about Crowder as a player. He's a guy that signs here. He signed the same day that Von Miller did, right? So it was a little bit – no, that's O.J. Howard that did that, sorry. Crowder, I feel like he's been, you know, a good productive player with the Jets and has been a PPR kind of machine if you have fantasy football. He gets the ball thrown to him a bunch, but with the Jets, that's a passing offense. It's not really done a lot for obvious reasons. So just how good of a player can Crowder be? Is it an upgrade over Cole Beasley to you?
I think if you're looking at Cole Beasley and what he was last year, it certainly could be an upgrade. Like you said, the Jets offense, it's had some of the worst quarterback play in the league over the last 3 years or so while he's been there. And he's just one of those reliable, get open over the middle of the field guys. Obviously not a big play threat, but that's not what they brought him in to be. So in terms of a guy who can get open, especially on third down in key situations when teams are looking to play man coverage, I think it's a good addition for them. And based on what they had last year with Beasley, I think it could be an upgrade.
So you do a biggest strength, a biggest weakness, and the X factor. I wanted to ask you about your X factor because Jeremy brought this up in the last hour. We were talking about Von Miller, and you know, maybe it's not as big a deal about what he does in the regular season. Does he get to 10 sacks or not? And more about what he can help the Bills do in the playoffs and what that difference might make, because it made a big difference for the Rams last year. And that's, he was your X factor.
Yeah, I think last year is kind of a good blueprint on sort of how they should use him. After he got traded, he took a couple weeks off. He was a little bit banged up. And you really sort of measure out his snaps so that he can go full out in the playoffs. And that's what he did for the Rams. Was really effective for them down the stretch. He had the second most pressures in the playoffs, I believe, right behind Aaron Donald, the highest pass rushing grade in the playoffs. So he's getting up there a little bit in age, and that's generally when you start to see edge rushers decline. But he's obviously in his own tier. He's one of the best, if not the best, edge rusher in the league over the past decade. So that curve might be a little bit different. I think if they rotate him and they have the bodies to rotate off the edge and keep him fresh to really let him shine in the playoffs, that's probably the route that they should go.
And as far as the biggest weaknesses, you know, like you said, I would agree off the top. I think a lot of people that are looking at the Bills as the Super Bowl favorite, of course you have Josh Allen, but that there really is, it's a pretty deep roster top to bottom, and there's no, you know, really shocking flaw here. But you did have to do a biggest weakness for every team, and you brought up the right side of the offensive line. So let's talk a little bit about that.
Yeah, it's not necessarily that it's definitely going to be a weakness, but it's just more of an unknown. With Brian Bates, obviously the Bears wanted to bring him in, and he showed some promise last year for Buffalo. But him at right guard and then Spencer Brown at right tackle, it's just not a ton of experience on that side of the line. So when you have to put a weakness for every team, that's sort of what I landed on. But I do think those guys have some potential to solidify what could be a pretty good offensive line with left tackle through center already kind of in place there.
Ben, wanted to hit on some of the other teams in the AFC. Who is the second highest team in your rankings in this conference?
In this conference, it's the Chargers. And that might be a little bit surprising, and it seems like you do this every offseason with the Chargers, at least for the last 3 to 5 years, where they sort of get hyped up, and then it doesn't pan out. But if you look at their roster, there's really no reason they shouldn't be one of the better teams in the AFC next year. And I think a lot of that comes down to what they've done this offseason to patch up some of the holes they had, especially on defense last year. The defensive line was a big issue with Brandon Staley coming over from the Rams. They just didn't have the guys up front to stop and run the way that he wanted to, with those lighter boxes, with those two high safety shells. So he goes out and brings in Sebastian Joseph Day, Austin Johnson, Morgan Fox, who was also there with him in the Rams in 2020, and then the star power, bringing in Khalil Mack, J.C. Jackson. going out and getting veterans like Kyle Van Noy, Bryce Callahan. They just added a lot of talent to that defense. And the offense is returning a lot of key starters from a group that was pretty good already last season. So I just think from top to bottom, they have one of the better rosters on paper in the league.
Can't talk about the AFC without bringing up Kansas City at some point. Team of interest certainly here in light of what's happened the last couple of years. So no Tyreek Hill. A couple key losses in the secondary in Tyrann Mathieu, Charvarius Ward. Where do you have? But they still have Patrick Mahomes. They still have Travis Kelce. What are your thoughts on Kansas City? Where do they fall, in your opinion?
Yeah, they fell right at the back end of the top 10, which might seem a little bit low, just based on how good they've been the last few years. But I think their roster is a little bit top-heavy, and just in terms of the contracts that they've had to pay out the last few years. And you saw that with Tyreek Hill. That's why they had to end up moving him, because they couldn't pay him $30 million a year. Or at least they didn't want to, with what that would mean for the rest of their roster. So they trade him, and they go out and try to replace the wide receiver position with quantity over quality, with Juju, with MBS, with Sky Moore in the draft. Defensively, their defensive line could be a concern outside of Chris Jones. There's not a lot of pass rushing presence there. And then at cornerback, like you said, they lose Charvarius Ward. Go out and get Trent McDuffie in the draft, but that's a rookie you're leaning on. Lose Tyrann Mathieu, so they have a lot of talent, but there's definitely more holes than a team like Buffalo, a team like Los Angeles.
One last AFC team, then before we let you go, we'll get some quick thoughts on the top tier in the NFC from you. The other team I want to ask you about is Miami. So you had them, I think, as the sixth highest team in the AFC. I'm sure at some point this will come back to what your thoughts are about Tua, but what do you like about the Dolphins?
Yeah, the Dolphins were one of the teams that got called out most when those rankings came out. And it does seem a little bit high just because of the unknown with Tua. But I really like what they did in terms of adding talent around him to make this a make-or-break year for him. After this year, he doesn't really have any excuses if things don't work out. Going out and getting Tyreek Hill, Cedric Wilson, even from the Cowboys, Teron Armstead, Connor Williams on the offensive line. There's still some concerns up front there on the offensive line, but in terms of talent around him, I think they've done a good job of putting those pieces in place. And then defensively, there's not that many holes. They have a solid defensive line. They have a pretty deep edge rotation, especially after adding Melvin Ingram. Their cornerback duo with Xavier Howard and Byron Jones is one of the best in the league. Honestly, the biggest question and one of the only questions is Tua,
yeah,
and whether or not he can step up and lead that group in that new offense with Mike McDaniel. It should look a lot different than it has in the past. So there's a lot of uncertainty there, but I think the rest of the roster is in pretty good shape.
Last thing, we'll go to the other conference and at least just cover the top tier with you, Ben. Who are the top tier teams in the NFC?
I think you're looking at the teams that's been the last few years, the Tampa Bay, sort of in a similar boat to Buffalo, where it's really hard to find holes. You maybe tight end with Gronk retiring, or at least saying he's going to retire. Running back isn't super strong with Fournette there, but it's top to bottom, it's a really strong roster. Even after losing those guards, they go out and trade for Shaq Mason, which I thought was one of the better moves of the offseason. Trading a fifth-round pick for a guard like Shaq Mason. So they're up there. The Rams are up there, obviously, after their Super Bowl run. They lost some key pieces like Von Miller, like Odell. Potentially he might come back, but they're still one of the better rosters in the NFC. And then Green Bay, I think, is also in that group. Their big question is at wide receiver. After losing Davante Adams, it's one of the worst wide receiver groups in the NFL. I think the only reason you can't say it's the worst is because of the team in their division, Chicago. But they're the rest of their roster getting guys like Jaire Alexander, David Bakhtiari, all pro level talents back that weren't there last year when they were already one of the best teams in the NFC. I think they're certainly in that conversation too.
It was an interesting read. Folks, if you want to check it out, Pro Football Focus, and Ben's piece is on the rankings of all the teams, 1 through 32, with the Bills, of course, being at the top of the list. We appreciate you coming on, Ben. Thank you very much for giving us some time this morning.
Anytime. Take care.
This is Ben Lindsay joining us on the Wester Hotline. He had New England. I didn't want to bring him up, but whatever. They're 18th, But it's interesting. He brought two things of note. One, as I mentioned, he did biggest strength, biggest weakness, X factor. The X factor for New England is a guy who we talked about last season going, why aren't you throwing him the ball? Jonnu Smith. Who signs the four-year, $50 million contract. And Ben pointed out Smith ran 158 routes last year for New England. It was 52nd most at the tight end position in the National Football League after getting Henry big contracts for the Patriots. And he also points out, you know, again, something we've also talked about, their cornerbacks. They lose their best cornerback in the offseason to free agency. And he points out they have been a man-heavy scheme. It doesn't require much imagination to see that cornerback group getting exposed in a man-heavy scheme that could force the Patriots to play more zone coverage this coming season with J.C. Jackson going to, almost said San Diego, Los Angeles in the offseason.
Speaking of the Chargers, I'm not going to make you pick the Chargers.
Pick the Chargers!
But I want to ask more money. I want to get to something because, you know, one thing I think Bills fans can bank on and are banking on is the AFC West is going to, you know, beat itself up a little bit. You wouldn't expect, somebody might, but you wouldn't expect a team in the West to go through their division the same way that we expect the Bills to go through the East.
Yeah,
right?
Right.
At worst, you think the Bills will go
5-1?
At worst. Okay.
At
I would say at worst, you might even say 4-2.
Yeah, they just don't.
Okay, fair enough. Whereas at best, you really, it'd be tough to pick any team in the AFC West to go 6-0. So put that aside. The Chargers. What do you think they'll go in the division? You want to say 3-3? Let's say 3-3.
All right.
Just for the sake of it. Let me give you the rest of their schedule.
Yeah, I'm going to pull this up while you're doing this.
I'll give it to you.
Okay.
So, the Chargers. They're going to go 3-3 in their division. Next up, how many wins are the Chargers going to get? Jacksonville.
Yeah.
You got a win?
Sure.
Houston.
A win.
At Cleveland, week 5.
For now, I'll give them a win.
Win. Denver. I'm sorry, not Denver. Seattle.
Should have a win.
At Atlanta.
Oh, boy. Yeah, they could win that game, too.
San Francisco.
That's a toughie. I'll say a loss there.
At Arizona.
Hard to say. I'll say a loss there.
Miami.
Win.
Tennessee. Indianapolis.
Wow, those are tough.
And the Rams.
Let's say split those loose to the Rams. That's tough. That back part of the schedule you got to was
maybe
a tougher.
They're winning 10. Easy.
Should.
The first part, that's if they go 500 in the division. Jacksonville, Houston, Cleveland, Seattle, Atlanta. I'm at 8 wins.
I think they'll be 4-2 in the division.
Okay,
I think they'll be
now I'm at 9 wins.
Yeah,
they're going to beat San Francisco or Arizona or Miami or Tennessee or Indianapolis.
So, yeah, you only have to win one of those games to get to 10 wins for them.
Right. I think they're a pretty...
Or two if you think they're going 500 in their division.
Right.
I think it's... No, I'm high on the Chargers. I think it is funny. That's why I wanted to... They were the second highest team in his AFC rankings, but... They have yet to win. They haven't made the playoffs since Philip Rivers left town. But they're just a team that you look at their quarterback, you look at their weapons in the passing game. They've tried to fix the offensive line and make it better. They've certainly put a lot of money now into the defense. A full 17 games from Derwin James would be nice if you're a Chargers fan. But again, if Khalil Mack is healthy, you have Mack and Bosa. It's a hell of a duo that you got to worry about in terms of their pass rush. So I like their coach. I know he gets a lot of crap from some people that he's too aggressive. I think he's a good coach. I'd rather have a coach go over aggressive than be super ultra conservative and drive me crazy all the time. I love the Chargers. I think they're going to win that division.
If they get out to a good start, they open with the Raiders and then play Kansas City week 2, which is good a couple. Thursday night. That's the Amazon game, the first Amazon game. So if they were to come out of that 2-0, which might be a big ask to win on the road in Kansas City, but no Tyreek Hill, you know, the new-look Chiefs, can they beat the Raiders with Devontae Adams? They could go 0-2. That's the thing about that division. They could be 2-0, 1-1, 0-2. If they were to get to 2-0, Jacksonville, Houston, Cleveland, and then Denver. You're talking about
Cleveland maybe without their starting quarterback.
Seattle, Atlanta. You're 9 weeks in. Are you 7-2?
Could be, yeah.
You know, a lot of teams have a balance one way or the other. We look at the Bills' schedule. The Bills' start is tough.
Yep.
And then there's a middle area that softens up quite a bit. But to open Rams, Titans, I mean the Dolphins, and then Ravens, your easiest game is Miami in your first month. That's a tough schedule.
It is, sure. Yeah, I mean, it's not as intimidating because we think the Bills are good enough that they can handle that schedule. But it's a challenging beginning. I'm very much looking forward to the AFC West. And again, looking over Ben's rankings, like he had the Raiders He had the Raiders down. He had the Raiders like around 20th or 21st in his rankings because of some questions on defense, not completely sold on Carr. But I can't wait to see that division kind of beat up on each other. And question is, you know, I think they'll get two teams. Obviously, they'll get the division winner. I think they'll have at least one of the wild cards. I think the question for a lot of people is, could they get a third team in? Could the third place team in the AFC West have a good enough record to make one of the wild card spots?
It's also, you know, as the Bills chase the one seed, and we hope they get it, the first seven games for the Chargers versus the first seven games for the Bills. The Bills' first seven games, I just said Miami's the toughest or the weakest opponent. The weakest opponent in the first 8 weeks, which they have a bye in there, is either Miami or Pittsburgh. But for the Bills, you know, Rams, Titans, Dolphins, Ravens, Steelers, Chiefs, Packers.
Yeah.
That is a run of tough opponents. And from there, that's where if you get to that at even at 5-3, 6-2, 7-1, you might be thinking.
Well, you haven't played the Jets yet. Right?
The next seven games, Jets, Vikings, Browns, Lions, Patriots, Jets, Dolphins.
Right. The other, like,
and then Bears.
The non-Packers NFC North teams will be, you know, a little bit of a break.
You would think that'll be tomato can time for this team.
Hopefully. Yeah. I mean, I know Detroit's supposed to be better, but you would still look at the Lions. For sure the Bears, and unless you're a big believer in Kirk Cousins, the Vikings as well. Yes, the two Jets games and the three other NFC North games would be an easier portion of the schedule. Yeah. Right. I don't know about this tomato cans, but easier.
This is us telling future us, hey, if they're 4-2, like maybe relax a minute, it's gonna soften up.
Oh, I reserve the right to overreact during pick the Bills, right? I think. No, I'm confident in this team. I don't think it's one of those things also, like sometimes if a team kind of gets off to a bad September, it can, if not bury itself, really make things life difficult on themselves. I don't think that'll happen. Look, even if they have a tough first month, let's say they go 2-2. Right, by the way, 2-2, a tough first month. Let's say they go 2-2. They're still going to roll to the division. I mean, they're going to make the playoffs. They're going to win the division. Really, the question is, if they get off to a tough start in that first month or first 2 months, how does it affect the one seed? Because, you know, everybody wants the Bills playing home games in the AFC playoffs. That's not a division thing. It's more about a one seed thing if they get off to a mediocre start, if you will. 803-0550 to join us this morning. 888-552-550 on WGR.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Here in the seventh. High fly right center. Buxton chasing it. Making the catch at the wall. They've got a possible triple play. There's two. Now a throw to first will be a triple play. Byron Buxton catching it at the wall, and there'll be three outs at the end of all this. Now they need to throw to second, I believe.
So Urshela touched second base. Urshela touched second base. He's running by, but
okay. A triple play will end the seventh inning. Here in the seventh.
So that happened. The first 8-5 triple play in the history of Major League Baseball, pulled off by the Minnesota Twins, or in the Minnesota Twins game. So, stat of the day. I don't know about that. Because it was more of a base-running gaffe than a stellar play. It was a nice catch by the outfielder, but then they kind of ran into two of the outs.
People say July is a light sports month. We usually get some base-running gaffes, though. A lot of baseball. Baseball gets a lot of attention. And what's better than for a baseball highlight than a really good base running gaffe? Remember the one two years ago, the Pirates?
The Pirates, right. What did they do? Was the Pirates?
The Pirates had two.
There was
two.
A fielding gaffe, right? They were playing the Cubs, right? Well, then they also screw up. It was like one of those Little League plays where a kid gets a bunt single and turns into a home run because they throw the ball all over the place.
I think that happened. The other one was the Pirates player didn't run to first base. And because the force out prevents run, base running gaffes are great. And here's the White Sox getting triple played it was a good play by the center fielder.
Yeah, it was a nice catch.
Yeah, it was.
But it was a nice run down the ball on the warning track and again, throw it back in the infield. But their two base runners were just like gone.
Yeah.
Like they did not do like a halfway, let's see if he catches it, gone. Like the ball was going to be a gapper. And it wasn't, and they couldn't get back to the base in time. So, yeah, that's I'm trying to think of, famous screw-ups on the base. Nothing comes to mind. That's what I said. I started thinking about the Pirates and the Cubs and somebody getting home. That wasn't a home run. It probably a two-base, three-base error, whatever the heck it would have been at the time.
Also, last night, we had a walk-off hit by pitch. It's the first time since 1952.
Really? I did not see that. That's a great stat. No kidding.
Walk-off hit by pitch.
Oh, that's just... Thankfully, it didn't involve my team. That's infuriating.
Yep.
Oops.
The Orioles.
Oopies. A little too inside on a fastball or something? Or a curveball that didn't break? That is nasty.
Bottom of the 10th inning, bases loaded, hit by pitch. Jorge Mateo is hit by pitch. And if you see the highlight, it is wild. He gets hit in the leg. I think he gets hit in the leg. And they proceed to do the same thing you would do if you hit a home run, which is everybody comes out of the dugout. They dump Gatorade all over him.
Because he got hit by a pitch.
He's standing at home plate limping to first base, and the celebration's going crazy.
I guess he actually does have to go tag.
He does
first,
have to go to first
right?
base.
He's got to go to first base.
Yeah.
Did you know, by the way? So, good news, Mets fans. Rehab starts going well for both Max Scherzer and Jacob deGrom. Let's just leave that at that. There's no need to talk more about that. But did you know, I guess it's standard procedure when a major leaguer goes to a rehab stint in the minors, that they kind of hook the players up on that team. Like they usually at least pay for the post-game spread. Like if you go down and make a rehab start for whatever, a team in A-ball, you, Mr. Major Leaguer, you pay for their post-game spread.
Mm.
And I had no idea that this was done. There was a story about Scherzer. Scherzer's pitching in
Double-A. And since he has made like $500 million.
It probably doesn't hurt that he's
making...
He
springs for better food for them?
Yeah, he's earning a buck or two. So he's pitching for, the Binghamton Rumble Ponies, I believe, is the Double-A team. Anyway, he makes his rehab start. He gets them surf and turf, or at least the filet mignon portion. Like he got steak dinner for all the guys on the team, and AirPods for everybody. So I thought, I did not know that. That's cool. That makes sense. Major leaguers, especially the guys that are making tons of money, helping out the minor leaguers who are woefully, woefully underpaid and poor in some levels, You help him out with a nice meal after the game, and he even bought him AirPods. So you got him some nice gifts for all that. That's awesome. That is a really cool thing to do. Had no idea they did it. Good idea. I'm glad the major leaguers are helping out the minor leaguers, stuff like that. That's cool.
Mentioned I went to the Bisons game last night. Failed to get on the Simba cam. Simba cam is
with your kids?
Yeah, it's one of the better cams. Yeah, did not get on the Simba cam.
Aww.
Yeah. Other families
should have dressed the twins in little lion costumes.
I don't think that helps.
Oh, okay. Yeah. See, I thought that would get you on the
Simba. No, I think you've got to be lucky. A lot of people just hold their babies in the air and try to get on the Simba cam. Trying to duplicate your performance on the bongo cam from way back when.
Was there a foul ball nearby? Would I love to see you try and hold the baby with one arm and try and catch the ball with the other hand?
No, but I was very nervous about that because, the twins, they're almost 16 months now, so...
Can't catch foul ball yet?
Well, you constantly paying attention to them. Every time I'd hear the crack of the bat, I would think, we were way down the left, like the third base side. You know, they've got a screen up, so you don't have to worry too much because there's a screen that goes pretty high. Right. But at a baseball game, you generally like to, I pay attention to the game. But with toddlers, small toddlers, it is much more difficult to watch every pitch. I'm trying to, I've got my son on my left, trying to keep him entertained. And every crack of the bat, it's just like, I hope it's not hit over
here. Where's the ball?
Yeah.
Well, if people in your section stand up, then you go to the next level of possible panic as you try and locate the ball because everybody's standing in the section. I never actually... Geez, I'm trying to remember. We didn't take Jonathan to a game, and I don't even remember what his first game would have been. We would have taken him to Shea Stadium at some point, but certainly not at the age you took your twins. It would not have been when he was a toddler. I love those videos. I love watching, foul balls or home runs where, someone's holding onto a kid, one arm wrapped around the waist of the kid or whatever, and you reach out with your free hand and you grab the ball with one hand while not losing the kid. That takes ability. And so I'm sorry to hear you didn't get one. Hey, we're in the speaking of baseball, we're past July 4th, so now you can officially start looking at the standings. Unless you're a Mets fan. Remember you making fun of me when the Mets were up 10.5, weren't you?
They're the first NL team to 50 wins.
Uh huh.
You got to feel pretty good.
Oh, they beat the Yankees to 50 wins.
No, first team in the NL.
Oh, NL, I'm sorry. Yeah, because the Yankees were at 58. But did you see the standings? Mr. making fun of me when they were 10.5 games up? They're up 3.5 on the Braves.
Hmm. All right. So they've come back to earth.
Well, there's a combination of they had a 500 month of June, which you might not be surprised since right now four of their starting pitchers are out. Well, let's see. McGill, at least three. DeGrom, Scherzer, I'm probably missing somebody. They had a 500 month of June. And the Braves are on fire. The Braves just, they had like that 14-game winning streak. So all of a sudden, 10.5 is down to 3.5. And I just wanted to point that out because you were getting all over me for being Mr. Fatalistic Baseball fan when they were 10.5 games up going into the month of June, I believe, or maybe in early June. And the Braves kind of turned on the afterburner. So there is a race going on in the NL East. Not as much Phillies. They were hot too, but they're still 8 games out. Bryce Harper's injured. I don't think the Phillies are going to make a run. But the Braves are still really good, and there's a race developing. And now the Mets have to go add a little offense at the trading deadline. We'll see what happens next. All right, let's hang on. A friend of mine who's a Phillies fan probably giving me crap about the Mets. Just send me a little emoji. Thanks. Hey, buddy, your Phillies aren't going anywhere. All right, 803-0550 to join us, 888-550-2550. Coming up top of the hour. Oh, we mentioned this earlier. I'm sorry. It is draft week this week in the NHL. Free agency is next week. So what are the main Sabres thoughts on your mind right now as we get into the meat of the hockey offseason? You can share your thoughts on that. If there's anything else you want to get to, that's fine, too. We will talk a little bit about what has been going on in college football. At 9 o'clock with Dennis Dodd from CBS Sports, the massive news last week that USC and UCLA were joining the Big Ten. There's been some speculation over the weekend that maybe Oregon and Washington could be next to leave. And then people are wondering about the ACC, Clemson, and Florida State, Miami. Where are they going to go? Are they leaving? What's happening with Notre Dame? It's crazy. I mean, if you thought previous realignment was nuts in college football, this has gone to a different level. So we'll touch base on all that stuff coming up at 9:05 with Dennis Dodd from CBSSports.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
I celebrate Festivus.
Feminist.
Festivus. And I was afraid that I would be persecuted for my beliefs. They drove my family out of Bayside, sir.
You making all this up, too?
Oh, no, sir. Festivus is all too real, and I could prove it if I have to.
Yeah, you probably should.
Happy anniversary, Seinfeld. It was on this day in 1989 that the pilot premiered on NBC. Not exactly to rave reviews. The ratings the first few years, really not that good. There was a point where they thought, the folks on the show thought, they might actually be canceled, that NBC would move on. It just wasn't going over as big as the network wanted it to go over. And in fact, if you looked at, I pulled up the Wikipedia page, the ratings. There's nothing listed the first year where they only ran 5 episodes. Nothing year 2. Year 3, they were 42nd in the ratings. And then 25th. And then something happened between in 93 and 94. They went from 25th in the ratings to 3rd. And they stayed top 5 the last 5 years of the show. It's, if you have Netflix, I am watching Seinfeld all over again, and it's hilarious. It's a great show. Love it. Absolutely hilarious. All the characters are marvelous. And you find different things you might have forgotten about if you haven't watched Seinfeld.
And you tweeted out a scene, you must have been on your rewatch, where your aunt.
Yes.
Because your cousin's Jason Alexander.
Yeah.
And there was a scene where his actual mother was used as an extra in the scene.
And I forgot about that. And I happened to just be, I'm watching random episodes. I'm just going through and seeing, all right, let me watch that one. It's in season 3. It's The Suicide is the episode. And they show it, and I'm like, well, and she passed a few years ago. So I was like, oh, wow. I had to text my brothers, like, do you remember Aunt Ruthie being on the show?
Aunt Ruth,
Greenspan is his real name. Yeah. So anyway, so she's on the show, non-speaking role, sitting there. I'm like, it's my aunt. It's like, oh, wow, that's so cool. I miss her. That's her. Like, but there was another one, and I can't find it. There's another scene in the show. I don't remember what year. I don't even remember what episode. I'm almost positive there was another one where both of his parents were in.
Hmm.
I'm sure his dad was on the show too, but I think both, again, non-speaking roles. I don't believe that is speaking roles, but I just feel like there was another show where his parents were in a hallway with him. I don't know why I keep thinking that was at a hospital as well, but his dad would have been on the show too. But that was pretty cool. I was like, oh yeah, I forgot she was on the show. They were very proud parents. Would go out of their way. It's funny. I will tell you, like, when we watched the show, I love my uncle and aunt. They were dear people. They remind me a little bit more of Jerry's parents in terms of behavior and some things. And when I think about them, I would have told you, and it's not patterned after them, of course, but Jerry's parents remind me a lot about, you know, Jason's parents and how they acted in real life. His parents were not like Frank and, oh my God, it's Estelle Harris's character. I don't remember. I'm drawing a total blank. George's mom, it's Frank and...
Estelle.
It is Estelle. Oh, it's Estelle Harris, too, is her name, right? His parents were not like that at all. Those people were crazy. But the Seinfeld's parents remind me of Jason's parents. 803-0550 to join us this morning. We've been talking a little bit of hockey because the draft is this week, and free agency is next week. And we're wondering what's on your Sabres mind right now as we get into the good portion of the chunk, the fun part of the hockey offseason. We'll talk a little bit about college football. when we get back because of the massive news last week about USC and UCLA. A lot of stuff, a lot of people wondering who's next, what's next. Are we headed to super conferences? So we'll delve into all that in a moment. Dennis Dodd will join us with CBSSports.com. That's on the way. Phone lines open for you to join us too on WGR.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track 4 games at once with multi-view mode. And catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.